אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
שלום אוסטרליה. Israel's war cabinet met on Thursday night to respond to the announcement that Hamas has given its initial approval to a proposed deal that would see hostages freed and fighting in Gaza stop for an unspecified period of time. Qatar's foreign minister made the announcement on Thursday afternoon and said that Israel okayed the deal at negotiations in Paris earlier in the week. Few details were publicly available. Local news is saying that it is premature to say there is an agreement. Families of hostages protested in 30 different venues across the country today, demanding that the government urgently find a way to return them all before it is too late. The largest gathering was outside the Kiryat in Tel Aviv, where the cabinet was meeting. The majority of families say that the return of their loved ones must be prioritized above other war aims. Prime Minister Netanyahu told the families that he will not entertain a deal that harms Israel's security, but it is unclear whether that is intended to put limits on the number of Palestinian prisoners he is prepared to exchange for hostages. A small number of families joined the continuing game of cat and mouse with the army, today blocking trucks from leaving the Ashdod port to deliver aid to Gaza. After the IDF designated the areas of both the Keren Shalom and Nitzana boarding crossings as closed military zones to prevent disruptions following days in which aid was blocked from going through to Gaza, dozens of protesters found a new method. The activists have been demanding that humanitarian aid to Gaza be contingent on Hamas releasing the hostages. Fighting was intense in Khan Yunus on Thursday, and the death of the 224th soldier in the ground assault was announced. The IDF has been withdrawing reserve forces from the Gaza Strip over the past 2 weeks, leaving the regular standing army to continue the fighting against Hamas. The withdrawal is intended to help restore Israel's economy and give troops a break. They are likely to be called up again, especially as fighting in Gaza is expected to last all year, and there are fears of an escalation in the north amid daily attacks by Hezbollah. On Tuesday, Hezbollah sent the largest barrage of rockets towards Israel in a single day, and Israel continues to respond with airstrikes. On Tuesday, the IDF destroyed a terror cell hiding in a hospital in the West Bank city of Jenin that was preparing an October 7th-like attack. Britain, Finland and Italy on Monday joined the United States, Canada and Australia in temporarily pausing future funding for the United Nations Agency for Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, while the UN reviews concerning allegations that UNRWA staff were involved in the October 7th Hamas massacres. Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong wrote on Twitter that Australia would temporarily pause disbursement of recent funding. She wrote, Australia is deeply concerned by allegations that UNRWA staff may have been involved in the abhorrent October 7th terror attacks. But she also noted the vital life-saving work by the agency. The decisions of the countries came after UNRWA said on Friday that it had sacked several employees accused by Israel of involvement in the massacre. The number was 12. Stefan Dujarric, spokesman for the UN chief Antonio Guterres, said Guterres is horrified by accusations and an urgent and comprehensive independent review of UNRWA will be conducted. Norwegian Foreign Minister Espen Barth-Eide said on Thursday that they will not only not freeze funding, but hope to find a way to convince countries that have done to resume their payments. Likud MK Nir Barkat revived his years-long plan to expel UNRWA from East Jerusalem. Barkat, who served as mayor of Jerusalem until 2018, has repeatedly accused UNRWA over the past few years of failing those under its purview and instead inciting terror activity. His bill has been proposed before and withdrawn. Now he believes it will have support. Defence Minister Yoav Gallant told a visiting delegation of ambassadors to the United Nations that UNRWA is Hamas with a facelift and has lost its legitimacy to exist in its current form, and MK Zev Elkin, head of Knesset Subcommittee on Foreign Policy and Public Relations, accused UNRWA of being a central part of Hamas's civilian government's arm. U.S. President Joe Biden on Wednesday signed an executive order allowing him to implement sanctions against four Israeli extremists who carried out violence in the West Bank. The sanctions will block designated individuals from access to the U.S. financial system, blocking them from any type of property in the U.S. and freezing any property they might already own. The sanctions will also include a ban on entry to the U.S. The four individuals being designated in the first round of sanctions against extremist settlers were not named in the initial announcement. Their names are expected to be released on Friday. One of them initiated and led the rampage in the village of Hawawa last year, which resulted in the death of a Palestinian resident. The US announcement said that high levels of extremist settler violence, forced displacement of people and villages, and property destruction have reached intolerable levels and constitute a serious threat to the peace, security, and stability of the West Bank and Gaza, Israel, and the broader Middle East region. Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich accused President Biden of making common cause with anti-Semites and legitimizing attacks on Israeli settlers by imposing the sanctions. Smotrich denied that settler violence is a problem, calling it a lie spread by Israel's enemies to slander settlers and pioneers and the settler movement and to harm them. The White House on Monday criticized a conference held last Sunday night in Jerusalem aimed at encouraging the re-establishment of Israeli settlements in the Gaza Strip, which was attended by nearly one-third of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet. The Prime Minister himself has ruled out Israeli settlers returning to Gaza, but he has not offered a solution for Gazan rule at the end of hostilities. Public support for Prime Minister Netanyahu has slipped further in recent weeks. A poll last week said if new elections were held now, Minister Benny Gantz's National Unity Party would be the largest, with 37 seats, followed by Netanyahu's Likud with just 18. They are followed by Yesh Atid at 14 seats, Shas 10, Yisrael Beiteinu 8, Otzma Yehudit 8, United Torah Judaism 7, Chadash Tal 5, Ram 5, Religious Zionism 4, and Meretz 4. Neither Labour or Balad would clear the minimum vote threshold in the poll conducted. The anti-Netanyahu bloc would have 68 of the Knesset's 120 seats, and Likud and its allies would have just 47. Hadash Tal is not aligned with either bloc. In a question as to who is better suited to be prime minister, 41% backed Gantz, while 23% backed Netanyahu. In good news, Shaarei Tzedek Medical Center, the hospital with the highest annual newborn delivery rate in the country, said it has beaten its record for the number of births in a single month. The 122-year-old hospital managed 1,900 deliveries for the birth of 1,926 babies in January, topping the monthly record of 1,856 babies in December. Shaarei Tzedek director Professor Ofer Meron emphasized that obstetric and maternity staff from all backgrounds work together at the hospital 24/7 to provide the best possible care for pregnant and birthing women. And Israeli fencer Yuval Freilich won gold in the Doha Grand Prix on Wednesday, sparking a rare scene, the Israeli national anthem Hatikva being played during wartime in Qatar, a country that does not have ties with Israel. The 29-year-old former European champion wore a shirt with the words Am Yisrael Chai, embossed in Hebrew on the Israeli flag when he won the championship and moved one step closer to advancing to the Paris 2024 Olympics. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.